about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Again, 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 1. And it tells us these words of wisdom. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, then you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verses 1 through 11, 1 Peter chapter 2. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom found and the power and the grace that permeates your word. And Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is a guidebook for all of life. It's a guidebook to help us to know what it looks like to be and to live the life of a disciple. And it's also a book of humility, a book that teaches us simply to seek your wisdom, your guidance, your grace, your help in all situations, and knowing that as we follow you, we're always going in the right direction. Thank you for the gift of your word, the privilege of being able to read it daily, and more open our eyes to the great need for us to fill our lives with your word, to be students of your word, people who read and meditate on it, who listen to it continually, and who teach and train our children and our grandchildren to do the same. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Want to remind you once again, want to invite you to plug into Urban Family in several different ways whereby we are inviting you to do so. One is want to encourage you to go on our website, urbanfamilytalk.com, and subscribe. And also, we want to encourage you to get the Urban Family app as well. The free mobile apps are found for iPhones and Android devices. And all you have to do is go to the app store and search Urban Family Talk. And with these apps, they can help. You can take Urban basically wherever you go. And, of course, we have a number of stations whereby you can listen by way of radio. But with the apps, you can go anywhere in the world. You can go to New York City. You can go to China and listen to Urban Family as well. So we appreciate you. If you'll try to connect with us on the try to get the apps that we have available as well. And we have in studio with us once again, Victory McIntosh. She's with us, and she's going to tell us how to connect with the cherubim.
Hey, Pastor Parker. It's funny. I was getting ready to put my peace sign up. So you did. How you doing?
I remembered today.
Okay, so so you can connect with Pastor Parker right now on the Cherubim. So you go to urbanfamilytalk.com. At the top left side of the page, you'll click on menu, then click on radio programs, scroll down to the Hour of Intercession. Once you've clicked on that, scroll down just a little bit next to the word podcast. You'll see all the podcasts for the Hour of Intercession is the Cherubim. Click on that. Within the top corner of the Cherubim box, there's this arrow. When you click on that arrow, it's going to ask you to log in either as a guest or you can log in using your Facebook page. Once you do that, you are an official Cherubimite and you can converse with Pastor Parker right now live on the Cherubim. And actually, I'm on there too. So, hey,
All right. On
your Cherubimite, I'm one of your Cherubimites following you right now.
Appreciate that. Appreciate
You're welcome.
That.
I broke it down a little bit more, so it's a little bit more.
All right. I appreciate your wisdom and your insight.
You're
there.
Welcome.
Victory Jade McIntosh. Praise the Lord. All righty then. And let me just remind our listeners as well, once again, that it's important to keep in mind, too, that one of our goals is that you're growing in your walk with the Lord, that you're becoming more and more of a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a clear goal is that you're learning the importance of being a student of God's Word, that you're establishing in your life spiritual habits. I often mention that I encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every day. That's a good basic spiritual meal for your day-to-day lifestyle. But keep in mind, that's very, very important. We live in a world where people are busy. Everybody's busy. We're going to and fro. But the fact is, our connecting and staying in close fellowship with God is critical to everything and every part of your life. So if you feel like you're too busy to read your Bible, you're too busy. You need to quit something or change something, because the fact is, we must make time for the Word of God if we're serious disciples. Also, making time, significant time, to spend with God in prayer is very important as well. Again, you're busy, I'm busy, we're all busy. But making time for God is important, because remember this, God will make as much time for you as you'll make for Him. God will never tell you He's too busy to listen to your prayers, or He's too busy to pour grace into your mind as you read His Word. He's going to bless. He's going to meet you there if you will take that time. So as we encourage you to read the Word of God daily, I hope you'll start. And if you haven't started before, today is a good day to start that habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. And also, today is a good day to start the habit of praying each and every day as well. You know, I share an item we call daily prayer tools, and these are Bible-based prayers that prayers that come straight from the Word of God, or that are based on the Word of God, that we would encourage you to get. And I'd be glad to email it to you. The email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And it's 7 biblically based prayers that we would encourage you to pray every single day. And, you know, to pray all the way through all of them really doesn't take long at all. You can pray through all of them in about 8, maybe 9 minutes. It doesn't take long, but it's very fruitful to pray them. Some of those prayers include, for example, the Lord's Prayer, which is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. The Lord's Prayer: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Doesn't take long at all. Every believer, I would encourage you to pray it every day. Every dad and mom, I would encourage you to pray it every day with your family. Remember, when your children are praying a prayer such as the Lord's Prayer, or praying period, you're reconnecting to God and you're drawing closer to God as well. It's not just a ritual, as sometimes people might put it. It's an activity that helps you draw closer to the Lord and to grow in fellowship relationship with Him as well. Also, we often talk about praying the Ten Commandments. Well, again, the Ten Commandments are found in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5 in their entirety. And praying them every day is very, very fruitful. We're going to take a moment to do that even now. And I want to invite you to pray it along with me, if you would, where you are. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Help us today, Lord, to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Lord, help us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, a simple prayer. It doesn't take long at all to pray it, but it's a very fruitful prayer to pray every day, because remember, when you pray, prayer really, amongst other things, releases the Holy Spirit to work, and the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to help us to put God first today. He knows how to help us to not take God's name in vain. He knows how to help us to live a lifestyle where we make no graven images, and on and on and on. He knows how to help us do all of these commandments. So praying the Ten Commandments is very good for you, and it's very good for our children as well. So again, if you'd like to get a copy of these 7 biblically based prayers, again, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. And if you'll do that, it'll bless you a lot. Let me share with you also, I want to remind you that The Hour of Intercession is about to start live streaming online, and our live stream channel can be found through the website of it's Afrika TV, which stands for Any Free Casting TV. Our direct link to our channel is, again, AFREECA.TV/HourofINT. That's Afrika, again, AFREECA.TV/HourofINT. One more time. Again, it's AfrikaTV/HourofINT. That's Afrika.TV/HourofINT. Hope you'll be able to, again, tune in and just catch us live streaming online via the live stream channel we've just mentioned. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, as we look into the Word of God, I want to remind you again that, again, if you're not reading His Word every day, today is a great day to start that very, very important habit. And, again, if you'd like to chime in, if you have a question or even a comment you want to share on the Cherubin, we'll look forward to you plugging in there as well. But keep in mind, if you're not reading His Word, I really want to encourage you to start that habit. And to every parent listening, parents, it is so, so important for us to teach and train and guide our children to be reading God's Word every single day. Remember, when you or I or our children are reading the Word of God, God's Word is pouring grace, peace, power, love, and encouragement into the minds of and the hearts of those who are reading it. And remember this, parents, if you want to bless your children tremendously today, help them to get into God's Word. Again, simply do that by calling them into the living room, the kitchen, or wherever you have them to sit down and just read the Word of God out loud to you. Reading, again, to specifically three chapters. I would encourage three chapters out loud. It doesn't take long at all. You can read your average three chapters in maybe 12 to 15 minutes, but it will bless them tremendously. Today, specifically, we're looking at the topic of the wisdom of humility and the pitfalls of pride. The wisdom of humility and the pitfalls of pride. And so as we look into God's Word, I want to give you a clear definition of humility and pride. And I want you to grasp what we're speaking of as well, because it's very important to your day-to-day lifestyle. It's very important to your family's day-to-day lifestyle. It's very important to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, as we look at that topic, I want you to pay close attention. And remember this, humility is not, again, it's not walking around with your head down, looking so quote-unquote humble. It's not walking around acting like a whipped puppy. Humility is complete submission to the Word and the will of God. It's complete submission to the Word and the will of God. The most humble person that ever walked the earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. He submitted entirely and completely to the Spirit of God. He never veered from that. He never got away from that. Jesus always, always, always perfectly followed the direction of the Holy Spirit in His earthly ministry here. And as believers, it should be our goal to get as close to that as we can. You know, we may not ever, we won't be perfect in this life, in this lifestyle, but we certainly can strive towards it. And we should never try to excuse sin by saying, well, I'm not perfect, and not make an attempt to be the best in the Spirit of God that we can be. Our goal is to become as much like Jesus as we possibly can. And as we pray and seek the Word, we will do that. Lord, thank You for the opportunity for us to walk in humility. Anoint us today afresh with the spirit of humility. Guide us and empower us to be a people that live lifestyles of humility, who walk and talk and carry ourselves in such a way that our humility comes through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian health care sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
One of my granddaughter's classmates was killed in a car accident. She was only 3 years old, and it was difficult for everyone involved to grasp her being gone. It seemed so senseless on our end, but for those who are believers, we understood that the Lord makes no mistakes. How we were able to get 2- and 3-year-olds to understand what actually happened was difficult at best, but we shared the love that God has for us and prayed for God to do the rest. And I couldn't help but think about how difficult it is for adults to grasp death, so how in the world were we going to get children to accept what God allowed? In your life, understand that God makes no mistakes. He is all-wise, all-knowing, and omnipresent. He not only knows what's taking place, but is able to adjust the now to make the future what it needs to be. Trust God today and sleep peacefully, knowing that He's got it all under control. Accept what God allows. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
You're listening to William Murphy, the song Let It Rise. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We want to remind you once again that we do have our Spring Share-a-thon coming up in just a few weeks, and we'd like to invite you and encourage you. Please give us a call at this number, and if you would share a listener testimony, this is the number 1-877-327-5647. Again, 1-877-327-5647. If you would share how the Lord has used Urban Family to bless you, to encourage you, to strengthen you in your walk as a disciple, a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you'll share one of those testimonies, we'd really appreciate it. And you just might hear your testimony during our Spring Share-a-thon. Again, once again, that number is 1-877-327-5647. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of the wisdom of humility and the pitfalls of pride. Again, it's very helpful to understand what humility is and what it's not. Again, genuine humility is complete submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. And the one human being that walked the earth that did this perfectly and completely right was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as believers, we should be striving towards being more and more like Jesus. We won't get it correctly, completely, but we can get closer and closer as we grow stronger and stronger in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, humility is submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. And I want you to keep in mind, let me share with you some very practical truths that we would be wise to grasp as it relates to walking in humility. I think of the three letters of the word pro, a term sometimes I use, that remind us of three critical areas in the life of a disciple. P refers to our prayer life. R refers to our reading and studying the Word of God. O refers to obedience to the Word of God. Now remember, to live a prayer-filled life is to live a life of humility. Remember, being very, very prayerful in your life is to walk in humility. On the other hand, to be prayerless is pride. Now you might think to yourself, well, I don't believe that. And sometimes you might think to yourself, I'm not a prideful person, but I just don't manage to get to pray a lot. You're a prideful person. No, because the fact is, to be prayerless is basically to kind of say to God, God, I can handle this. I can handle my life. I can handle my struggles. I can handle what I run into pretty much on my own. And that's not wise. The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now listen again to that verse. That's Proverbs chapter 34, verse 3. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, excuse me, that's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, God resists you if you're a prideful person. And for a person to pretty much function like they can, as if they don't need God or they don't need much of God and can handle life, then that's pride. Now, keep in mind, obviously, someone that's not a believer, someone who's never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, they're going to live their life kind of doing their own thing, doing what they want to do. And again, that's a life full of pride. But on the other hand, believers, people who've accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior of their lives, if we live prayerless lives, we're walking in pride as well. Because again, to not pray, to neglect to pray, to not make time to pray is making a statement to God. God, I can handle this on my own. Now, if you disagree with that, well, again, you just disagree with that. But the fact is, again, to really walk in humility, we must live a life full of prayer. No human being that ever walked this earth was more prayerful than the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in a sense, his whole life really was a prayer. He continually listened to and submitted to the Spirit of God. And so keep in mind, if you want to be a really humble believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must live a life full of prayer, a life where you seek God often and seek him faithfully in prayer. Also, being a student of God's Word. Reading and meditating on God's Word daily is so very important for all of us. Now here too, if a believer just doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't get around to reading the Bible, maybe sometimes he or she may say, well, I'm just so busy, I have such a full schedule, just don't have time. Well, the reality is, we really do have time for what we want to make time for. We need to make time for God's Word. It's humility to make studying God's Word a high priority in your life. And it's pride to be one who just doesn't get around to it. Again, it's as if saying, God, I have the wisdom, the insight, and the understanding in life that I really need. So I don't, it's as if we're saying, telling God we don't need his word or his counsel or his wisdom that comes from the word. And the fact is we desperately need God's wisdom, his counsel, his guidance. But to be one who doesn't hardly ever read and meditate on the word of God, again, it is pride. And you can try to twist that any other way, any way you want. It's pride to live a life where you rarely read the word of God. On the other hand, real humility will make time to spend much time in the word of God. I would encourage you, again, as I've mentioned often, I would encourage you to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters a day. And if you want to read more, wonderful. That's more humility when you spend more time in the word of God. And remember, God will spend as much time with you as you will spend with him. So make it your goal to be sure that you are doing just that. So also obedience to the word of God. The extent to which we obey God's word, again, that too is an act of humility. On the other hand, if we don't bother with living out the wisdom of God's word, again, it's an expression of pride. It's a form of pride. Again, it's as if our actions are saying, following God's word is not that big a deal. It's not important. That's what our actions are saying when we don't read and meditate on the word of God and or choose to do what it says. So to be very, very obedient to God is to walk in humility. To be very, very disobedient is pride. Now also keep in mind, humility and pride express themselves in many other ways as well. Understand this, to really walk in humility of God, if we'll really do that, we'll walk in kindness. We'll walk in being thankful, walk as being thankful individuals. We'll be loving individuals who walk in the love of God, compassionate individuals who are concerned about helping others in need. On the other hand, pride would appear to be just the opposite. Again, a prideful person is selfish. A prideful person is arrogant. A prideful person is ungrateful. A prideful person is rude to others. A prideful person doesn't bother with people. A prideful person is mean and inconsiderate towards others. And the fact is, if you ask any person, you know, do you want to be that way? Typically people say no. But the fact is, humility is when we seek to draw closer to God and we look to God to help us to walk in those characteristics that come from the Holy Spirit. And the more we submit to God, the more God's blessing will be upon us. And the more we submit to his word and submit to doing the things we know God has called us to do, that's humility, and it'll bless us tremendously. On the other hand, tragically, again, pride hurts us badly. Pride gets in the way any time of the day, any day of the week. So keep in mind, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, the word of God is clear. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Notice the passage once again that we read earlier in 1 Peter. Chapter 5, starting it specifically at verse 5, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, do you want more grace in your life? Walk in humility. God pours grace into the life of someone who walks in humility. On the other hand, if a person's walking in pride, God is resisting them. He's resisting. Do you want God to resist you? If you walk in pride, that's exactly what's going to happen. Verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Make it your goal to walk in humility every day of your life. In fact, pray and ask God to anoint you with the spirit of humility and empower you to walk in his humility each and every day. I want to invite you to look with me in the Old Testament, a familiar story, a powerful story. It draws out a number of these principles very, very powerfully. In 2 Kings chapter 5, starting at verse 1, it tells the story in the Old Testament of the prophet. It involves the prophet Elisha, but a Syrian by the name of Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive, a young girl, from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, Indeed now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." Verses 1 through 15, 2 Kings chapter 5. Well, again, a powerful story about humility and pride. And I'm going to take a few moments to share a little bit about the passage, and we'll finish on the other side of the break. But keep in mind, from the beginning of that passage all the way through to the point at which we were stopped, keep in mind there's lessons about humility and pride. One of the first lessons, of course, is the little girl that got kidnapped from Israel and brought to Syria. She could have been bitter and upset, could have been prideful, and thought to herself, "I don't want to do anything good to help them because they've kidnapped me from my home." But on the other hand, she was kind and compassionate and considerate. Therefore, she was being humble, even though she'd been kidnapped from her home. In her kindness and thoughtfulness, she shared some insight that would turn out to be a great blessing to Naaman, where he would actually receive his healing. But the key was she was humble enough to share kind words, thoughtful words, compassionate words, pointing him in the direction to where he could get his healing. Again, that was great humility on the part of the little girl. Remember, humility blessed her, and we even learn about this little girl's actions years and centuries later in the Word of God, because she was humble enough to let God use her to point Naaman to a prophet who God would use to bring healing to his life. So humility causes us to be a blessing to the world around us. This little girl was the tool that God used to help Naaman receive his healing. But again, it was her walking in humility and kindness and compassion that was a key to her being used mightily of the Lord. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll pick up there on the other side. Thanks for listening.
American Family Association exists to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of America. And we ask you to join a boycott of Target stores. If you agree that men don't belong in the same bathroom as our wives and daughters, visit AFA.net and sign our boycott pledge. Let Target know they're leading America down a dangerous path. AFA President Tim Wildman says this is exactly how sexual predators gain access to their victims. Again, the website is AFA.net.
Family is an institution set forth by God, one man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union.
It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
The church needs men every bit as much as men need the church. Dr. Tony Evans talks about how to draw the two together as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Men function best when they're facing a challenge, and often church is soft and feminine-like. Creating an environment where men are challenged to rise to the occasion, it engages men more. And so that's what we've been focusing on at the church and trying to translate to other churches as well. Number one, I don't believe that men and women fully understand their biblical roles and that worldliness has reduced our understanding of what those roles should be. Then we're living in a day of the redefinition of the family. Then we're living in a day of media undermining the family, making a joke of the family. Then we're living in a day of legislation that is working against the family. So, and we've allowed the world to seep into the church to redefine, undermine, and diminish God's reason for creating family in the first place. Well, we made a big initiative when I wrote the book Kingdom Man, Every Man's Destiny, Every Woman's Dream, and developed the Bible study that goes with that, because that launched a big emphasis of men in our church so that we could target men. So now we've built small groups for men, special free at last groups for men who are struggling with particular issues that are keeping them from being the men they were created to be. We have regular teaching from the pulpit that challenges men.
Learn how the same thing can happen in your church and in your life. Get a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man. It's available at tonyevans.org, along with study guides, leaders' guides, and everything you need to promote God's view of manhood in your home or church. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Life has been changing in your presence. never the same in your presence. One of marvelous presents. Hey, you are marvelous. You're marvelous. You're marvelous. You're marvelous. Oh, oh.
You're listening to Micah Stampley. The song Marvelous. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Inner Session here on Urban Family Talk. I want to remind you once again, if you would give us a call and share your listener testimony, we'd appreciate hearing from you. And again, we may very well use that testimony during our fall share-a-thon coming up in just a few weeks. Again, that number is 1-877-327-5647. And that's 1-877-327-5647 to share your listener testimony. We'd appreciate hearing from you. Once again, we're looking today at the topic of the wisdom of humility and the pitfalls of pride. Remember here, again, humility is complete submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. And pride is to reject the Word and the Spirit of God. Pride is to do what you want to do rather than submitting to the Word and the Spirit of God. And so pride, again, comes in many, many, many different forms, and it has many different faces. But anytime we reject God or fail to acknowledge the Word and the will of God in a given situation, it's pride 100% of the time. That means all sin is a form and an expression of pride. And so the Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. As we're looking at the story here in 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Naaman, again, as we pointed out, it was humility on the part of the little girl who, though she'd been kidnapped from her homeland and brought to be the servant working for the wife of Naaman, in her humility, she still expressed and shared ways that Naaman could get some help, could get healing. And she was expressing compassion and concern and care when she could have been prideful and very selfish in her thoughts. Well, again, Naaman hears about it, goes to his king, and the king sends a letter to the king of Israel and lets him know that lets him know that he wants his servant to be healed. Well, now initially, of course, the king is concerned. The king of Israel is concerned because he's thinking to himself, I can't heal anybody. But word gets to Elisha, who is the prophet of God. And Elisha lets him know, send him in my direction. And so that's what happened. Naaman and his entourage head to Elisha's house. When they get there, Elisha doesn't come to the door. He sends his servant to the door and gives directions based on the wisdom and the word, well, directions that contain the word of God for Naaman. Naaman hears the directions from Elisha's servant, and he's furious. Now, it's powerful to note and stop to think about why is he furious. Number one, he seems to feel like Elisha has not shown him the respect he deserves. Remember, Naaman is a big man in Syria. He's the commander of the army of Syria. He's a nobleman. He's someone that's looked up to with great admiration in his community, and Elisha doesn't even come out to say hello. Well, Naaman is insulted. He's angry. He's upset. He feels offended, and so he turns around, leaving in a rage. And he also states he feels like the rivers in his home country are probably cleaner than the Jordan River as well. Well, the fact is, as it turns out, someone, by the grace of God, and understand this is, again, God's grace working in the situation as well. One of his servants approaches him as he's turning away, leaving in a rage, and says to him, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So keep in mind, that too was an act of humility, because one of his servants could have easily said, well, he's upset and he's angry. I don't want to be bothered with having to try to encourage him to do anything different. But in his humility, he offered a word of wisdom, great wisdom, to his master, Naaman. And Naaman hears it. And so Naaman turns around and goes back to obey the word of God. Now keep in mind, to obey the word of God is humility as well. To hear God's word and obey it is great humility. On the other hand, when we read the word of God but don't do it, that again, that's pride. It's pride that may more or less be saying, even though I've read the word, I know better than the word what I need to be doing. Obedience to the word of God is great humility. Disobedience to the word of God is extreme pride. We must be a people given to humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Well, Naaman, after these words of wisdom from his servant, He turns around and goes back to the Jordan River. Verse 14 says, so he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Because Naaman submitted himself in humility to the word of God, and in his humility he obeyed the word of God, Naaman received his blessing. On the other hand, how many times do we miss great blessings in life because of pride? Pride which says, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. I have a better way than that. Anytime, remember this, anytime we decide not to obey the word of God, it's pride, and we will always miss out on a blessing. Remember this, sin always leads to loss 100% of the time. Even when you don't perceive the loss, it always leads to loss because sin will cause loss. On the other hand, obedience is followed by an outpouring of God's grace. Remember that verse again, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. God continually pours grace into the life of those of us that are humble enough to hear and obey the word of God. Naaman obeyed the word of God after he heard it, and because he obeyed, he got his complete healing. Obedience is great, great humility. But keep in mind, you can't obey if you don't hear and read and receive the word of God. So remember, reading God's word and obeying it go hand in hand. So if you want to walk in real humility, spend much time reading the word of God and spend much time seeking to apply it, to obey what it says. That's humility at work. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us as believers to walk in your humility each and every day. Father, thank you for the chance for us to be able to come to you in prayer daily. Thank you for the chance to read your word daily. Thank you for the chance to obey your word daily as well. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of humility. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer that thus we can express our humility through living a life given to prayer. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so much mileage that you can get out of the life of anyone who gives themselves to prayer. Help every man and woman listening, every boy and girl to recognize that it's great humility to spend much time in prayer. Help us more and more to recognize that it's great pride to live a very prayerless life. And help us to not resist even the truths behind that, recognizing that the devil doesn't want us to perceive this. Help us to be open to hearing your truth and obeying it. Empower us to be the people of humility you've called us to be. We do thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, of course, because Naaman did hear the word of God and obey it, he did receive his healing. Well, praise God for that truth. Remember, when you hear the word of God and obey it, that's humility at work in your life as well. I want you to look briefly now in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, a very familiar verse. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Verse 14, it tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, I want you to listen to that verse once again, but notice a part of humility is praying. A part of the act of walking in humility is seeking God in prayer. Notice what the verse says again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Notice the expression of humility found in this verse. It says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Prayer is a part of humbling ourselves. Seeking God's face is a part of humbling ourselves. Turning from our wicked ways is a part of humbling ourselves. Again, these are all a part of walking and living a life of humility. Every believer is called to live a life of humility. And so it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to help us to do this. Remember this, when we work, but when we pray, God works. Listen to that again. When we work, but when we pray, God works. That's why we're so wise to spend a lot of time praying. Now understand this, we're supposed to do both. We're to work ourselves, and we're to pray ourselves as well. But keep in mind, we're to permeate our lives. We're to fill up our lives with prayer so much so that the grace of God permeates everything we say, everything we do, and our whole life and our lifestyle. Well, remember, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. If you want God's grace to be poured out upon your life in great abundance, spend a lot of time praying. Spend a lot of time reading and meditating on God's word. Spend a lot of time obeying what you know. For many believers, some of the biggest challenges in their life is not so much what they don't know from the word of God. Many times, it's the things they do know, but they're not applying. There are many truths believers know, but so often, we don't apply them like we should. Humility is to read the word of God and to apply it, to obey, to do what it says. That's what real humility looks like. So as we draw to conclusion, keep in mind, as we've pointed out the scripture throughout our time, again, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Ask yourself this question. Do you want God to resist you? Do you want God to hold blessing back from you? Do you want God to hold off from pouring grace into your life? Well, that's what happens when we walk in pride. On the other hand, when we choose to walk in the humility of God, God pours grace into our lives with big buckets. To walk in humility is to allow the grace of God to be poured into our lives. You and I are wise. We're very smart. We're very wise individuals to give ourselves to prayer. We're very wise individuals to spend much time reading and meditating on God's word. We're very wise individuals to walk in great obedience. Remember, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's what each of us is called to do. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us each and every day to walk in your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us each and every day to pray. Thank you for the opportunity you give us each and every day to spend time reading and meditating on your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us each and every day to obey you, to follow, to walk in the wisdom of your word day by day. Lord, fill us afresh with the spirit of humility. Help us to recognize that every aspect of our life as a disciple should be permeated with your grace and your humility. Guide us so that with every passing day, we'll walk more and more fully in the humility you've called us to walk in. Help us to know, Lord, that it's great wisdom to be a person who's filled their life with humility, and it's great foolishness for a person to be full of pride. Guide us to never be persons who walk in pride, but to continually be persons who walk in humility. Help us, Father, to be wise, to be humble as men and women. Help us to be humble as husbands, as wives. Help us to be humble as dads and moms. Help us to be humble as boys and girls in the home. Help us to know, Lord, that great blessing is found as we do that today and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. We've been looking at the topic of the wisdom of humility and the pitfalls of pride. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.